Hey guys, this right here is going to be the heart failure primer episode. Again, the way that this particular episode is designed is to hit the major key points of heart failure. The original episode is like an hour and 10 minutes or 13 minutes or something like that. This right here is about 6, 7 minutes. This right here is just basically going to go over heart failure with reduced ejection fraction and heart failure with preserved ejection fraction, along with the medications used to help with heart failure. So this right here is designed to be listened to before or after you read, and that way you can kind of see what the big points are and what you're reading and kind of help make the stuff to connect. So this right here is the primer episode for heart failure, and all the material is coming from the Lewis's Medical Surgical Nursing textbook, the 12th edition.
Patients here.
Oh boy, got some blood going.
Yeah, this is blood.
Well, he's wearing it too.
Welcome to the bay. When you get over to the bed, we'll go ahead and give you the story. This is all going to happen super fast. Welcome to the emergency room.
70-year-old female, single driver of a vehicle. Appears that she went off-road into a ditch, rolled over her car onto a trailer, caved in the top of the vehicle, was caved in, so she was hanging out parked in front of the window.
She has a 22 in her left hand.
45 minutes of CPR. You can stop CPR. 6 over. 6 over. 6 over.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to give you that high-yield edge, the 20% you need for 80% success. Today, heart failure essentials. We're hitting the must-know concepts, management, and meds fast. Let's get you ready.
Okay, first up, just nailing the definition. Heart failure, it's basically a complex clinical syndrome. The heart just can't pump enough blood to meet the body's needs. So you get insufficient oxygen and blood supply. And right away, we split this into two main types you absolutely have to know.
The HFREF and HFPEF.
Exactly. HFREF is heart failure with reduced ejection fraction. Think systolic dysfunction, the pump itself is weak. Technically an LVEF of 40% or less.
Okay, weak pump and HFPEF.
That's preserved ejection fraction. So the EF number looks okay, but the problem is diastolic. The ventricle is stiff, it doesn't relax or fill properly.
Got it. Stiff ventricle versus weak pump.
And the really insidious part, long term, the body tries to help, it kicks in the RAS system, the sympathetic nervous system.
Trying to compensate for the low output?
Precisely. But chronic activation is actually destructive. It causes this harmful ventricular remodeling, vasoconstriction, fluid retention. It ultimately makes the heart work harder against itself and causes permanent damage.
That remodeling explains why it's so tough to manage long term.
Okay, so before we get to treatment, how does this actually look in a patient? What are the classic symptoms?
Well, it usually presents differently depending on which side of the heart is primarily failing. If it's left-sided failure, think pulmonary congestion.
Lungs, right.
Yeah, lungs. You'll hear crackles on auscultation. The patient will have dyspnea, maybe a cough. And those classic positional breathing issues, orthopnea, needing pillows to breathe, or PND.
Paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea, waking up gasping.
That's the one. Waking up suddenly short of breath. Correct. Classic left-sided stuff.
Okay. And right-sided failure.
That's more systemic congestion. Think fluid backing up into the body. So, peripheral edema, swollen legs and feet, hepatomegaly, and enlarged liver. Maybe uniasis, fluid in the abdomen.
And that visible sign, JVD?
Yep. Jugular venous distension. You can often see it just by looking at the patient's neck. It's a key sign of that systemic backup from the right side.
All right, so clear differences there. Now let's pivot to what nurses absolutely need to monitor. Top priority.
Fluid status, without a doubt.
Which means?
Daily weights. Critically important. Same time, same scale, same clothing, every single day. And you need to know the alert criteria.
The numbers you absolutely report.
Exactly. A gain of 3 pounds, that's about 1.4 kilos over 2 days. Or 3 to 5 pounds, roughly 2.3 kilos, over a week.
Mm.
You see that, you call the provider immediately.
Non-negotiable. Got it. And tied directly to fluid is diet, right?
Absolutely. Strict sodium restriction, usually aiming for about 2 grams per day.
Mm-hmm.
Sodium pulls water, so limiting it is key to controlling that fluid overload.
Okay, essential nursing points. Now, let's talk high-yield pharmacology. The big four drug classes for chronic HF.
Right. These are the ones that really impact mortality, not just symptoms. First line, cornerstone therapy, ACE inhibitors, or ARBs if they can't tolerate an ACE.
Why are they so foundational?
Remember that harmful RAAS activation and remodeling we talked about? ACE inhibitors directly block that system. They interrupt that damaging long-term cycle. That's why they're crucial.
Makes sense. Target the root cause. But ACE inhibitors have those key side effects to watch for.
Definitely. Two big ones. Angioedema, that potentially life-threatening swelling, and a persistent nagging dry cough.
Yeah.
Oh, and crucially, both ACE inhibitors and ARBs can cause hyperkalemia, high potassium. Always monitor potassium levels.
Okay, ACSARBs first, then beta blockers, like carbidopa.
Yes, beta-adrenergic blockers. They also reduce mortality and actually help reverse some of that harmful remodeling over time. Key nursing point. Always check the pulse before giving them. Watch for bradycardia and hypotension. Hold if the pulse is too low, usually below 60, per protocol.
Got it. Check that pulse. What's next? Diuretics?
Yep. You need diuretics, loop diuretics like furosemide or sometimes thiazides to manage the fluid overload. They decrease preload, get rid of that edema.
But this is where electrolytes get tricky, right? Potassium again.
Exactly. Loop diuretics especially are notorious for causing hypokalemia, low potassium. So you're often balancing the potassium-sparing effect of the ACE/ARB against the potassium-wasting effect of the loop diuretic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balancing act. You have to watch those labs closely.
Okay, a critical lab watch there. And the fourth major player, digitalis, digoxin.
Right, digoxin. It's a positive inotrope, makes the heart contract more forcefully, and it also slows the heart rate down a bit. The big issue here is the very narrow therapeutic window.
Easy to become toxic.
Very easy. And the toxicity signs are classic. You need to know them. Visual disturbances, patients might report seeing yellow or green halos around lights.
Mm-hmm.
Also anorexia, nausea, vomiting, and bradycardia.
Yellow halos, nausea, bradycardia. Ketogoxin toxicity signs. Okay.
So to kind of wrap up the core concepts, the big takeaway for studying is probably organizing things around that HFREF versus HFPEF distinction and recognizing that so many treatments target those maladaptive compensatory mechanisms like RAAS.
It makes sense. Frame it around the type and the mechanism. Any final clinical pearl for listeners?
Yeah, something practical connecting back to overall care. Always encourage patients with heart failure to get their annual flu shot and their pneumococcal vaccine.
Ah, prevention.
Exactly. Any infection, like the flu or pneumonia, puts huge stress on the heart and can easily trigger an acute decompensation, landing them back in the hospital. Vaccinations are really important preventative care for these folks.
Great point. Keep them stable by preventing other illnesses.
It's a crucial piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
So, apply this high-yield stuff strategically.
Absolutely. That's our rapid review for today. Go out and master that heart failure material.